title. Can you guys hear me? No. I have it on here, so is it plugged in? Testing. Can you still hear me? John 3:16. There we go. Thank you there, soundboards. All righty. It's good to be back up here. I miss all of you. Went to California for a few weeks and went there and got a cold. So I came to a conclusion. Every time I go to California, I get sick. It's either the water or the climate or family. I think it's the latter. I love family. Pastor Stan said a while back, you can always pick friends, but you can't pick your family. And it's so true, right? So true. Man of wisdom here, okay? But this morning's passage, we're going to continue from last week, is Luke chapter 8, verse 40 through 56. And I'd like to pick up from there. It has a little story. Two unique events happens. So I don't know if, Keanu, did you have those verses up? Okay. So read along with me. Again, I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible. It's one of my preference of versions, but I really like this one. So it says, as Jesus returned, the multitude welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to entreat him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes were pressing against him, and a woman who had hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, who is the one who touched me? And while they were all denying it, Peter said, Master, the multitudes were crowding and pressing upon you. But Jesus said, someone did touch me, and I was aware that the power had gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people and reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Take note of that. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. While he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. But when Jesus heard this, he answered them, do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well. Verse 51. And when he had come to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except for the three disciples, which is Peter, John, and James, the girl's father and mother. And they were all weeping and lamenting for her. But he said, stop weeping, for she has not died, but is asleep. And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, child, arise. And his spirit returned, and she rose immediately. And he gave orders for something to be given to her to eat. And her parents were amazed. But he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. Two events. That was very important, I think, to me as I'm studying this passage, that these two events questioned that maybe Jesus had mentioned to disciples in verse 25. And that verse 25 says, where is your faith? This morning, Jesus may be knocking on your heart of your door, the door of your heart, sorry, and be asking you that same question. Where is your faith? Now, Pastor Stan, and we all know this, last week a lot of things have happened, especially with the shootings. But here is Jairus. He's tried. He knows his daughter is dying. He is an elder, a ruler, or official of the synagogue. A synagogue is a church, a place you come to worship, a place where you study scripture. Not the scripture we know of. The Bible hasn't been canonized yet. So the scripture they're talking about, particularly probably it's the five books of the Old Testament, studying that. He is in authority. He knows how to read and study the scriptures. He knows what worship is all about. They are not Jesus followers. They're not Christians. They're followers of what the scriptures that they know of. They know God, but they don't know Jesus. Why would someone like Jairus to come up and say, I'm going to go to Jesus? Maybe, just maybe, this man I heard about might be able to heal and raise up my daughter from death. And so by faith, he took upon himself and said, I will go. I will seek with this man. Now, it doesn't say that in Scripture, but picture that happening. How many of us in our lives today that we're confronted with things? This morning in our Sunday school class for the high schoolers, we studied about storms in our lives, storms that come. And what are we to do when storms come? What was the best thing we can do?
Prepare.
Okay? That's the same thing we all do. Prepare. If we have contaminated water, can we make use of it? If all the power goes out, what happens to the food in the refrigerator?
Spoils.
Are we prepared? Well, this morning, I'm going to share with you how to prepare. Okay. There are things in our lives that we are confronted with. These storms that will come. They will come in our lives. I guarantee it. But how prepared are we? The question Jesus asked, where's your faith? He's asking that to the disciples. He's asking us today, this morning, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Where is our faith as we are confronted with the storms that are ahead of us? And they will come. Those storms may be something physical that we are encountering, something emotional, something spiritual, something that it's not in our control. But they will come. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? That's the first scenario. Next one is, here is a woman who's been hemorrhaging, bleeding for 12 years, unstoppable. Bleeding and hemorrhaging in the Old Testament is that if that woman becomes unclean, you can't even touch her. You can't even approach her. She is unclean. She is unworthy. Here is a woman of her faith that says, if I can just touch the thread of his garment, I just might be healed. What faith this woman has to say, I just want to touch the clothing. Now, a lot of times I have these little threads on my shirts and pants, and my wife says, you got to cut that off. When she touches my eye, she doesn't get healed. Okay? I'm not Jesus. Thank goodness. If I was, we would all be in trouble. Okay? But Jesus, here is a woman who touches his garment. And Jesus is aware of this. Jesus is aware that the power that has surged from him goes out from his garment onto this woman. And he asks the question, who touched me? Now, how many of us have gone to a concert or a crowded place down in Waikiki or an airport, and you're surrounded with people, right? People are always touching each other. Are you aware that some of your power within you is being generated out to others? Most of it are not, but Jesus is. Jesus realizes that, and he knows that. Why is that? Because the story tells us he is God. He is all powerful. He knows everything. Nothing passes through him or by him without his knowledge, without his information that he knows what's going on. That's the God that we serve. That's just the Jesus that we serve. That's the Jesus that we love to come to know and love. That's awesome. That's awesome. So that's the story. I can end right there. But we're going to talk about this morning is faith. Slide 2. By modern dictionary, the definition of faith is that unquestioned belief that does not require proof or evidence. I brought up a prop with me this morning, and we were sort of joking this morning about the chair. Now, when you think about the chair, we think of Darren Knuckle. He is the chair of elders, the chair of the board, the chair of whatever, okay? Sometimes he becomes a table, but he's the chair, okay? But here's the problem. According to that definition, unquestioning belief. I am not going to question or doubt this chair is going to support my weight if I sit on it. Unquestionable. That's the definition. Okay? But this morning, more importantly, I want to talk and share with you what is biblical faith. I think that comes up the next screen. Oh, no, sorry. Hebrews 11:1 is a very common verse that modern scholars, biblical students, come up with a definition of what faith is. Okay, and it says, now faith is an assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And it's true, but something's missing. It's not quite a good definition. It's more of what empowers, what the actions of faith does. But a lot of biblical students use this. I myself sometimes use this. But it's not really a clear, concise definition. The biblical faith that we're going to see on the next slide, and in your handouts, you can write it in. Taking God at his word. Believing his promises and truth that is in the word of God. That is the biblical faith. Everything that we have in Scripture is God's promises. And it's by faith we take that. It's not unquestioning. It's not mysteriously. It's not something unknown. It's been revealed. But how much of this we really believe it? And we'll go through that. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God in Romans 10:17 is stated. But on the next slide, a lot of us think what faith is. Sometimes we think it's unquestionable. Okay. It does not require proof or evidence, according to the modern dictionary. But it's also, like I said, on the promises of God's word. This is what our hope is, right in this book. No matter what we encounter in life today, whether outside world of collapsing and government, politics, rail system, family issues, maybe someone who thinks that they should deserve all the inheritance and leave you out, or maybe a father decides to leave the family. These are storms that we all, or somewhat, may have to encounter. But those storms, again, are you prepared in what God's promises that's in here? God's word is about facts. It's not about feelings. A lot of times we say, oh, I don't feel like I'm going to place my faith in God's word. I don't feel like it. Oh, I don't feel or sense this is what God is saying. There's no doubt. As we study the scriptures here in this Bible, God has said it already. He's already given us the promises. It's not based on feelings. It's based on whether we take it and say, believe it, and we trust it. Go ahead to the next slide. Okay. Again, here's one you can fill in. Again, it's not about how we feel about it. Any faith can be founded on the word of God and is not biblical truth. That's true. It's not based on the human feelings, like I said, but squarely on the fact of what God's word says. Nothing else. Nothing else. That's what the biblical faith is all about. Someone in this church have told me when I come up, I usually have an acronym. Okay. My last acronym I spoke about, can anyone remember what the acronym was? FAT. Okay? Everyone says FAT. Thank you. I know I am. Thank you. I know that. I accept that. That's okay. Okay? We always have one in the crowd. FAT. Now, so for those of you who are first time hearing that, you say, why is he calling himself fat? F stands for what? Faithful. A stands for? Available. T stands for? Teachable. Okay? That's the acronym of being a fat Christian. Faithful, available, and teachable. Well, this morning I have another one for you, and I cannot take full credit because I did not make this up. I found it online. The word faith. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead. I'm bad. Sorry. Go back to slide 7. Okay. Faith aspects. Okay. First things we have to do is we know about the knowledge of the word. That is Jesus Christ. He died. Is buried, resurrected. Okay? That's knowledge. That's something you have to have in faith. Is that enough? I hope you're shaking your head no. Just because you know that Jesus died and buried and resurrected, does that mean you have faith? Does that mean that you're a believer in Christ? Does that mean you're a follower of Christ? And I hope you're saying no. And that's true. Because why? Demons know this information. Satanic powers, Satan followers, they know Jesus died. They know that he was buried. They know that he was resurrected. But are they followers of Christ? No, they're not. So that doesn't mean just because you know it, you're a follower of Christ. Second one is what we call assent. And that is, well, the word assent means really is to agree. Sometimes a very strong word of agreement. Something that means when I approve of something, that after a thoughtful consideration, you really say, I agree with that. And that's the same thing. You agree strongly about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You agree with that, okay? Does demonic followers believe in that? No, they don't. But even with that second one, knowledge and assent or agreement doesn't make you a follower of Jesus Christ. Last, trust. This is where you trust in all that, and this is where you have to build that relationship. Having a relationship with Jesus and saying, I trust you. I trust you because of what God's word said. This is who you are. This is what you accomplished. I believe it, I agree it, and guess what? I am going to dwell in my life and put my life in your hands. I will follow you. I will do what you command for me to do in your word of God. That's when the point you become a follower of Jesus. That's the point when your life should have changed. That's the point when you actually are going to be in the process of sanctified and being saved. That's the point. Your outward appearance, your outward lifestyle should make a change of what's been going on normally or prior to that event in your life. This morning I'm going to share, for those of you who may not know Jesus Christ, and give you an opportunity to make that change in your life. But we're going to continue on. The acronym, next slide. For those, I know the one person tells me he loves my acronyms and he's not here this morning. So hopefully he'll get a copy of this tape here. But the first letter in faith is? You read my notes? Oh, he's on the board. Okay. Okay. F. It stands for forsaking. Okay. A. All. I-T-N-H. Forsaking all, I take him. Okay? Again, I don't get credit. So someone else came up with this, and I found it online. And I thought it was a very good application for an acronym for what I'm speaking about this morning. You're forsaking everything you hear, everything that's out in the world, everything that's in family or situations, but you're taking him. Right here, him. God's word. Wow. That is faith. That's a biblical faith. And hopefully this morning, you take that biblical faith and apply it in your life today. No matter what's going on in your life. Again, storms are going to come. Are you prepared? Are we all prepared? I hope and pray we are. In conclusion, where is your faith? Where is your faith today? I hope and pray it's a biblical faith. There's nothing wrong about the modern definition of this faith. There's nothing wrong with it. But that's not the solution to life. The solution to life in the Christian life is right here in God's word. Do you believe this is God's word? Do you live God's word? Do you breathe God's word? Do you even read God's word? I hope and pray you are. I'd like to leave with a verse, one of my favorite verses. I have so many, and I didn't have it on there, but John 16:33. If you have your Bibles, you can turn that to that. John 16, verse 33. Jesus is speaking here. And he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but take courage. I have overcome the world." That's a promise. That's God's word. That is his promise. Storms are coming. Do you believe it? Do you trust it? You may know it, but you have all three. Know, believe, and trust. I pray this morning we do that. This morning I want everyone eyes closed, heads bowed. I'm going to start with those this morning who may not even heard about Jesus. This morning, he may be knocking on your heart, the door of your heart, the heart of your heart, and asking you this morning, "I want to know Jesus, but also want to believe, and I want to trust him this morning. There are storms in my life that you don't know, Lord, but he does. He knows about the storms, the things that you're encountering today. And he says, come to me. Come to me. Give it to him. Trust him this morning. Believe in him. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. Your life will change. If you make that change in your heart. For those of us who've already committed our lives to the Lord, and maybe some of us are struggling through things in our lives, and there could be a lot of things. A lot of things on our prayer list. People we've been praying for the last several months, struggling through things, mental health, spiritual things, physical things. And these are real. But they're struggles. These are the storms that we all encounter. How much of us are believing, knowing that Jesus did die for us, buried and resurrected? But how many we believe it, and then we trust and believe this is God's word, the promises, that he will overcome. He will. The Bible tells us as Christians, no matter how long we live on this earth, no matter what goes on, we win. God wins. And when we say, yes, I approve, or I agree with you, Lord, you know, that's the word I said, assent. That's another word of saying amen. And if you truly believe that this is God's word, I want you to say to God, amen. Not too many people believe this is God's word. I don't believe we all are in agreement with that. If you truly believe this is God's word, I want to hear an amen. Okay, that's better. Thank you. Okay. I'm sorry, I get a little Pentecostal at times. Okay. This morning, I'm going to ask Pastor Stan to come up and close. And I trust this morning that you're encouraged. Where is your faith today? And I hope and trust is in God's word. Thank you.
Amen. Do we have a closing song? One of the band can come on up. I think what Steve said is critical, because we tend to confuse that intellectual assent, knowledge, or information with faith. Just because we know about something doesn't mean we've actually placed our dependence upon that and our trust in it. Now we're going to cling to that. But Jesus didn't come to give us information. He came to give us the platform upon which we can base our lives. And as I'd like to ask us just to close our eyes one more time and just remind us that everything we depend upon in this world will fail us. And if I may walk you through a scenario, many, many times I've sat and I've stood holding the hand of someone in a hospital bed who would be departing this world soon. And I told them, everything in this world that you've depended upon will fail you. Your loved ones will fail you. The medical science eventually will fail you. Your own health will fail you. Your finances will fail you. It cannot take you to where God wants you to be, to that place of eternity. But why wait for the hospital bed to receive that word? Receive it now. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that before, just say, Lord, I have trusted many things in life, but now I place my faith in you. I open my heart to you. Come into my life, Lord. And if you pray that prayer, Jesus Christ comes in and has rich, true fellowship with you. And if you've already done that, maybe you've gone back to the world and you've placed your faith in things once again. Things are blessings. They're wonderful. And God gives them to us. But they're not adequate objects of faith. Only Jesus is. So, come back to Jesus. Even if you are saved, and say, Lord, I place my faith in you. Refresh my spirit once again. Remind us, Lord, that you are the foundation of our lives. I place my faith in you. And as you do that, you will be a pleasure to the Lord, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because those who come to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Father, I pray that you'd receive the hearts of these people, everyone here, Lord. And I pray that there would be not a person here who would not understand the simple message that Steve has brought to us, just to trust in you. And may we apprehend that, Lord, and may we place our faith in you. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity to do that, and I pray, Lord, that you would give us a joy in our hearts as we realize that the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, gave himself for us, and he will not let us down. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. And now, Lord, as we conclude with this closing song, I pray that you would seal it to our hearts, seal this message to our hearts, that we might go from here in your joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Zan. Thank you, Steve, for that message. And as you said, the first element we need is we need to have a belief in Jesus Christ and his word. Let's all stand as we sing this song, This I Believe. I believe in life eternal.
I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
For I believe.
For I believe in the name of.
For I believe.
For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Wow, that was awesome. Oh, yes, Lord, we believe in you. No, saints, that the Word of God says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let your faith rest upon the truth of God's Word, the fact that it's recorded in the Scriptures. Let your faith rest there. And God says, I have a place for you in heaven. Lord, we come before you thanking you for the truth of your Word. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you for your revealing yourself to us. Thank you for Jesus, for all he has done. And Father, we bless your name, God, and we pray that we would go from here being reminded constantly. Lord, Holy Spirit, help us to remember to place our faith in you constantly. Thank you, God. We love you now. And in Jesus' name we pray. And together we say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give God a clap offering for Steve's message today. One more time. Praise the Lord. Have a great week in Jesus.